calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Let's pray. We thank thee, Father, for the privilege to come together and study your word once again. We pray, Father, that you'll be with us throughout this service. Open our hearts and minds that we might accept your word, that we might think on it and apply it to our lives. We pray, Father, that you'll be with those who conduct us in the service today. Guide them that they might have a positive impact upon us. Help us to follow their lead, to think seriously about the things that we sing, about our prayers, about the message being brought to us today. We pray, Father, that you'll bless those who can't be with us today, and if it's your will, that you'll restore their health. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Scripture reading this morning will be taken from the Gospel account of John, chapters 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. John chapter 14, verse number 1, 2, and 3. And the Bible reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also."
Usually in our services, we have a period of singing and then a sermon. This morning, Gary and I are working together with songs and the Word of God throughout the entire service to emphasize a theme of the coming of Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to take your songbooks and turn to 167. I'd like for you to keep your songbook ready because we will be singing throughout the entire service today. We're emphasizing two main points in our service this morning. One has to do with the coming of Christ, and the other has to do with the coming to Christ. The coming of Christ and the coming to Christ. First, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus says in the Bible, I have come. I have come. Almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus denied himself of the benefits that he had in heaven, as described in Philippians 2. He came to this earth and took upon himself the form of man. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a life of some 33 plus years. He died on the cross and shed his blood, was buried, was resurrected, and ascended. While he was here, he taught us some things about his coming. Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost, Luke 19, verse 10. It is said about him by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You and I ought to be so thankful today that God sent his Son to this earth to be a Savior for us. And we ought to be able, with the Apostle Paul, to recognize our mistakes and recognize how much we are in need of Jesus Christ as a Savior. John 1:1 begins by saying that the Word was in the beginning with God and was God. Verse 11 says that he came unto his own and his own received him not. Verse 14 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And verse 17 says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There is emphasis placed in the Word of God on the idea that Jesus has already come. We believe that when he came the first time, he came for the purpose of establishing his kingdom, as had been predicted throughout the Old Testament, and as he promised in passages like Matthew 16, 18, and 19. We believe that he did that. That since that time that his kingdom has been in existence, since the time of Pentecost of Acts 2, and certainly after he has ascended back to his Father to sit at the right hand of God, that that kingdom is in existence and that people today can be translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Jesus Christ has come to this earth. And he says throughout the Bible, I came, I am come, I have come. In fact, he specifically says at John 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so the first idea that I want us to really think about today is the basic statement that Jesus says as we summarize all of these passages to which we have just referred. He says, I have come. And I want us to sing together now, number 167, that asks the question, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come to this earth? A little later in the service today, just before we observe the Lord's Supper, we'll sing another song that asks that same question again. But remember, the Bible teaches that Jesus has already come, that he established his kingdom, he came to be our Savior. Let's sing about why he came.
Why did the Savior heaven leave and come to earth below, where men his grace would not receive, because he loves me so? He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me, because he loves me so. Why did the Savior mark the way, and why temptations know? Why teach and toil and plead and pray? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself himself to die for me because he loves me so. Why feel the garden's dreadful dross? Why through his trials go? Why suffer death upon the cross? Because he loves me so. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, this I know. He gave himself to die for me because he loves me so.
Number 396.
To be able to establish in our thinking that fact that Jesus has come, that he came because he loves us so much, and he came because he wants us to have the opportunity of salvation, makes it possible for us to meet the affairs of life on a daily basis and overcome the most difficult circumstances that exist. If it were not for the fact that we believe that Jesus has come, that he was the Son of God, and that he has become our Savior, wants to be the Savior for every one of us, life would be so difficult, and sometimes it would be so meaningless. What a wonderful statement. Jesus says, I have come. But think about another statement that he makes. He says, I will come again. Chris read from John 14 a few minutes ago, which I would guess is one of the favorite passages of many of us, especially in times of death and illness and problems. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus was, in a sense, saying, you believe that I came to this earth, that God sent me. But he goes ahead and says something else. He says, not only believe in God and believe in me, but he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, listen to this, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I certainly would have much more difficulty conducting funeral services if I did not believe in that statement. I'm not for sure where I would turn to find comfort for people who've lost a loved one, even a fine Christian loved one who's been lost, if it were not for promises like that that Jesus makes in that passage. I will come again. Now, of course, we live at a time when people try to predict the time that Jesus is coming. We need to be aware that the Bible teaches us that we don't know when Jesus will return. It could be today. It could be a million years from now. In fact, Jesus himself said in Matthew 24 that at that time, at least, he didn't even know, that only the Father in heaven knew when he would return. But as uncertain as the timing is, the fact is certain that Jesus is going to come. Revelation, the 20th chapter, and 22nd chapter, really, and verse 12, and then verse 20, the Bible says, behold, come quickly. For Jesus promises to come quickly, and we even say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And right in between that, in verse 17, is that invitation to come to him. The coming of Jesus Christ is emphasized in so many ways. Matthew 25, 31, beginning, when he comes, all the nations are going to be gathered before him, and he shall judge the nations and separate them as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and 24, when he comes, he'll come not to establish his kingdom, but to deliver up his kingdom to the Father, having established it the first time that he came. What a wonderful promise it is that Jesus is coming again. It is said that not too long after the Bible times, when Jesus was on this earth and had left and gone back and had promised to come back in somewhat the same manner that he had left, that it was not uncommon to see people looking at the horizon, maybe shading their eyes and looking at the horizon to see if they could see him returning. I'm afraid we have gotten almost completely away from that idea today. I'm concerned about those who try to predict the time that the Lord will return because, as we've already said, we don't know. It seems to me at almost every part of my life there's always been somebody who's predicting that Jesus would return, whether it would be 1914 or 1980-something, that I remember a specific date not too long ago, even in our own area. And now we're beginning to read from some who believe that when the year 2000 comes, that'll be the time that the Lord will return. We don't know. We can't predict. But folks, is it possible that we might ought to be more concerned about thinking he couldn't come today or tomorrow? And are we allowing ourselves sometimes to get into that mode of thinking? While we criticize people who try to predict when he's coming, is it not just as bad, or maybe in some ways even worse, if we sell ourselves at least subconsciously the idea that there's no way he could come today? The Bible says when people think least about it is when he's going to come. He's going to come as a thief in the night. He's going to come while activities are continuing on this earth. He's going to come when maybe least expected. One of the positive factors, if there is any, according or associated with the idea of trying to predict when the Lord comes, is that it may make people a little bit more aware of the fact that he is coming. And it may make some people be a bit more prepared. Whereas on the other hand, if we allow ourselves to get into the rut of thinking he could not come today, he could not come in my lifetime, oh, that's something that's 100 or 1,000 or 1,000,000 years in the future, we may allow ourselves not to be as prepared as we ought to. There are terrible things associated with terminal illness, but there is one good thing associated with terminal illness. If a person knows the approximate amount of time that he has left before death, probably is going to think more about being prepared. We don't know when death is coming. That appointment is left up to God. We don't know when the Lord is going to return, but it's so important that we realize that he is and that we be ready. Jesus said, "I have come." That's already taken place. When he came, he established his kingdom, the church. He became our Savior. He made possible everything that we need in this life. But then he says in the second place, "I will come. I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And it is a comforting thought. Even if we are forsaken by our friends, if every bad thing that could happen takes place, to know that Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, I will come. I will come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Let's sing about that fact.
Oh, how sweet will be to meet the Lord when he comes in glory by and by. What a song of praise will be outpoured when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet, when he comes in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by. We will have our robes all white as snow when he comes in glory by and by. Oh, be ready with the Lord to go when he comes in glory by and by. How sweet, when he comes in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by. I am longing for that happy day when he comes in glory by and by. For with him I hope to soar away when he comes in glory by and by. sweet, how sweet, when he comes in the sky. What joy, when he comes in glory by and by.
Number 583. 583.
The first statement from Jesus, I have come. The second thought, I will come. The third idea is a question from Jesus, will you come? So far, we've been dealing with facts. Fact that has already happened, and something that is just as though it were a fact because of our faith in the Word of God and the promise that's there, that Jesus has come and that he's coming again. But right in the midst, if you noticed a moment ago, of the idea that he is coming again and maybe our praying that he would come quickly, there in the last chapter of the Bible, listen to that 17th verse. He says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Over in the book of John at chapter 6 and verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. These are the words of Jesus. And then in that passage that I suppose is probably more familiar to us than any other when we start thinking about the invitation of Jesus to come to him, Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In all of these passages and many others, Jesus, in a sense, is standing there with outstretched hands, and he's saying, will you come? I have come, and I am coming again, he says, but will you come to be ready and to be prepared when I come again, is his attitude. I would remind you of that time, I believe it's in the latter part of Matthew 23, where Jesus looked out over the city of Jerusalem and perhaps even shed tears as he thought about how they would not come to him. He said, I've asked you to come just like a mother hen would want her chickens to come and be shielded under the protection of her body. He said, that's the way I've asked. That's what I want. And he said, you won't come. I ask you to come and you won't come, is the idea that's in that passage. And you can just almost hear Jesus as he looked at people like that and as he looks at people today saying, will you come? And maybe to make it a little stronger, as he teaches and has taught the truth and is taught today through the Word, maybe he's saying, won't you come and accept the promises that are there for you? I have come, I will come again. That's what Jesus says. But then he asked that question, will you come? I want you to think about that question and the answer to it as we sing the next two songs together.
Will you come, will you come with your poor broken heart, burden and sin oppressed? Lay it down at the feet of your Savior and Lord. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come? Will you come? There is mercy for you. balm for your aching breast. Only come as you are and believe on his name. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest. Will you come, will you come? How he pleads with you now. Fly to his loving breast. And whatever your sin or your sorrow may be, Jesus will give you rest. Oh, happy rest, sweet happy rest. Jesus will give you rest, happy rest. Oh, why won't you come in simple trusting faith? Jesus will give you rest.
At the first service, there were two songs at that point. Because of the different arrangement in the Lord's Supper, we had to rearrange the services just a little bit. We appreciate so much Gary helping and leading today. And I believe that our singing together about these points helps us to be reminded of what the Word of God has to say. In fact, we just sang an invitation song. We sang an invitation song at the very beginning of the service today. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. We normally think of just singing an invitation song at the end of a message. But I wanted it sung here to cause us to really stop and think about that idea, will you come? Jesus' invitation, you see, is extended all the time. And so far, we've said three things from the words of Jesus. I have come, I will come, and will you come? But now I'd like for you to turn to 598 in your songbook. And when you do, you will see a statement in that song that I want us to emphasize at this point. And this is a bit different from the other three statements in that it is a statement that needs to come from us. I have come, I will come, will you come, are statements and questions that have come from Christ that we've considered this morning. The statement that we will sing in just a moment in what may be more of a decision song than a song of invitation is the statement, I am coming, Lord. Do we mean it when we sing that? If you are not a Christian and you sing, I am coming, Lord, do you really mean that? That's what Jesus would want you to do. He would want you to come to him. That's what his invitation is about. But it's interesting that he says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. Jesus extends the invitation and says, will you come, as we were just singing, but he never forces himself into the life of anyone. And so there has to be the determination on the part of each of us to become a Christian and to be a Christian. Perhaps there's someone here this morning who has not become a Christian, who has not been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, to be added to his kingdom and to be ready for his coming. Perhaps there's someone here who has become a Christian but who has gone back into the world or for some reason or other is not ready if Jesus were to come today. And remember, he could. And it's to those types of individuals that I would appeal and ask you to think seriously as we sing this next song together in just a moment. We've emphasized the coming of Jesus, and now we're emphasizing the coming to Jesus. He says, I have come. I will come again. But will you come to me and be ready? What each one of us needs to really say is, I am coming, Lord. As together we stand and sing.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to Thee.